Praise the Lord, everybody.
Blog Talk Radio.
To make our confession for the Lord, apologize for our pardon. Divide it up. All together, this is my Bible. It was sent for my correction. It was written for my correction. I believe it and I read it. I am what it says that I am. I can have what it says that I can have. I can do what it says that I can do. It is the word of the living God. Amen, amen, amen. Be seated in the house of the Lord. Be blessed not tonight. We're still talking about pressing toward the mark of the high call in our Bible study. And how many studied last week? You got ready for it. You did? Okay. Ready, son. So you're ready. Amen for the word tonight. We started out with Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. It says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, for this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the gathering of the people. Lord, we thank you for your holy presence in the house. Father, we begin to open up our mouth, ask that you speak through us and teach us, God, according to your will and your word. Open up revelation to us, Father. Write your word on the hearts of your people that we don't sin against you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So tonight, remember last week we talked about, we spoke up until we got to David, and I said we talked a little bit basically in pressing toward the mark. We went into how do we have peace in a bad situation. So we start talking about trials and tribulations and circumstances and troubles, and sometimes things happen, but children of God have to try to find peace in it. The Bible clearly states, glory to God, that when we go into our trials and our troubles and our tribulations, that God will be with us. He never said that we wouldn't have troubles, but he has given us peace in them. And pressing toward the mark is key. It is what the Apostle Paul said. He didn't say that as we read all the letters that he wrote to Corinthians, the Romans, Philippians, and all of those people that he was teaching about the Word of God, all the letters that he sent to them, most of the time he was writing them from prison. He was telling them about the goodness of God. It's hard to talk about the goodness of God when you're in prison. Hello. Amen. But he did, and he was teaching them how to be good Christians and how to follow after the laws of God. He had a connection with God, even in prison. And so he began to let them know to the Philippian people that I'm pressing. And he said, I haven't gotten there yet. In other words, he said, I'm still a flesh just like you. I still go through the same like-minded temptations that you go through. But I'm still pressing. I'm not going to let nothing turn me around. Once he said, I will let nothing separate me from the love of my God. Not tribulations, not trials and perils. So we sometimes think that we're going through, we got the market cornered on trials and tribulations. We don't. If you ask the person next to you what's going on really in their lives, and if they tell you, you will just hang your mouth open and oh, because you'll be like, oh man, I thought I had it. You know, and you say, can I help you? Because there's always something. But we thank God that he gives us peace in it. That's the good thing about God. You can suffer these things and be miserable and try everything, every bad, evil thing you can to come out of it and do not to make it worse. You just dig in a ditch for yourself and making it worse for yourself. Or you can just give God glory, praise your way through this situation and this thing, and rejoice when you come out. And every time you come out, your faith will be elevated. Every time you go through a trial and a tribulation in God or some situation that you sometimes we create our own trouble. So a lot of our trials don't come from God. Sometimes we create them ourselves. But whenever you hang in there and keep on trusting God, keep on serving God, keep on following the laws of God, he'll come out quicker. But the more you fight against them and the more you struggle and complain and mourn and murmur, your mind is going to always be done. We learned that in our past week. We learned that the only way to keep your mind off of your troubles is by serving God, by praising and glorifying God. Keep your focus on the Lord. Remember, the scripture says, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, you know, whatsoever things edifies, you know, these things that are goodly, these are the things that we think on. And then Paul said, and let this mind also be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Amen? So these are the things that we have to keep our minds occupied with. We have troubles. We have trials. But you can find peace in it. And the only way to do that, if we look at Philippians 4 through 9, first 4th chapter, verses 4 through 9, just to reiterate. Verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. He didn't say sometimes or when you feel like it. But he said always. That's the key. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now, we got to get an understanding there. He said, I will say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident in all, and the Lord is near you. Rejoice in the Lord. When you rejoice in God, whatever you're going through, that means that your praise and your glory. Remember the Bible says, God says, I inherit the praises of my people. So when you're rejoicing and giving glory to God and living in, as if you people don't know you're going through. They don't know you're hurting. They don't know you're in pain. Why? Because you're giving glory and honor to God. You're still serving God. You're still smiling. You're still helping other people. You're still going on just like everything is peaches and cream when actually you're really suffering. And God is near you in that.
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul said when you rejoice in that thing, God is right there with you. Because your mind is focused on the things of God and your praises are him near you. So when Jesus said, when you go through the flood, when God told Israel, when you go through the flood, I will be with you. Through the fire, it will not burn you. Neither shall the flames kindle upon you. So if he's going to be with you, that means I don't care how hard your trials get, how hard your troubles get, it will not harm you. Your mentality will be fine. Your soul will be fine. You'll be fine in God. You'll come out of this thing on another level. And see, what the enemy wants us to do while we're pressing our way to the mark of the high call, or while we're pressing our way in the journey, because it is a press, you got to apply yourself. You got to come to church. You got to pray and study your Bible at home, not just at church. You got to not just pick your Bible up when you come to church. You got to have a real fellowship with God in order to stay course. Because it's going to be difficult. You're going to run. Yeah, and some people take off and, oh, I'm saved and I'm this, that, and other, and run, preaching and doing all this. And then somebody, a child, hit them upside the head and they back all the way up. Because they got in a hurry. You run this thing daily. You run it as if, you know, like, okay, I know I got a long way to go, so I'm going to take my time. I'm going to study this word. I'm going to pray. I'm going to spend time with God. I'm taking my time on this journey. I'm not getting in a hurry. I'm not trying to get there in a hurry. All I want is to get that fellowship with God, that walk with God. And that's our mark. Because the Bible said God created us so that he can get joy and glory out of our lives. And if you ain't living a life according to the Bible, God can't get no joy out of it. Hello? There's no testimony to him. So the Apostle Paul said, we're pressing toward the mark. But I'm finished reading. He said, as if I may have apprehended that for which I am apprehended of Christ, he's reading in the plain English, Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I will do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before me, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. You've got to keep pressing. You have to. You got to forget about it. People say, well, I love it when I tell people say, well, you used to, if they can say to you, you used to do, and it's surely the truth, then you can rejoice because guess what? I don't do that no more. Thank you for the confirmation. This is where I used to be. This is what I once was. God forgot about it, so I did too. People don't forget about your past sins, but guess what? God does. Hello, as long as you separate, when Jesus forgave you, he said, go and sin no more. As long as you follow that, go and sin no more. What you did yesterday don't matter to God. It's what you're doing today. Because he said, when you turn from bad and do good, I won't remember your bad no more. But if you turn from good and do bad, I won't remember your good no more. So where are you? Where's your stand in God? Amen? We're pressing toward the mark. You can have joy and peace in a bad situation, because as children of God, we will encounter these things. But we can't let the world greatness to God. The world has to see the joy of God in us, or they ain't going to want our God. That's bottom line. They won't have enough days, but you know what? I can be miserable. Like, yeah, I don't need to go to church, you know, to be miserable. And we walk around sad and hurting and torn all up and just in a bad way. We say to the world that our God is not big enough. Hello. That he can't bring us out. And so your witness is not just what you say, but it's your life. People are watching you. When you say, I'm saved and I'm a Christian and I'm born again, they watch you to see if you really are born again. And they will try you. The world tries you every day. They will try you in this. Hello? When Satan told God, I'm going to and folks about the earth, he's just trying you. He's waiting on the trial for you. He's waiting to try you. You're going to confess that Jesus is your Savior and that you're born again and you don't do the same thing. You used to go, well, how about it? You know, I'm going to put some flat right there by itself and see if you don't get back. He'll make it easy for you. I want to enjoy your way. I know you're crazy about him. Hello? For a one-night stand. Come on, somebody. So, when we press toward the mark, the first thing that we have to do is focus on God instead of what's going on. They have a saying that if you, when you go into a situation, don't be telling God about your problems. Tell your problems about your great big God. And that's the truth. We focus so much on our problems and our circumstances, our situations, and it gets us down. You know, some people don't rest at night because they're thinking about their problems and their situations. Learn how to rest in God. When you get a peace in God, you will learn how to rest in God. Not to say you ain't going to go through something sometimes, but guess what? It's just, you say, you know what, it's just growing pain. This is what I always say, it's just growing pain. I'm going to grow even closer to God from this because I'm going to stand on the word of God. He's my deliverer. He's my healer. He's going to bring me out of this. And so when he brings me out of this, I'm going to stand even stronger. My witness is more powerful. So God will put somebody in your way that's going through the same thing that you've been through. But if you can't give them a good report, hello, and you're telling them, well, you know what, you don't know what I'm going through. Hey, wait a minute, hold on. You're a child of God. Your confession has to be better than that. Your confession has to be God is. Hold on. Trust God. He brought me out of this. He's going to bring you out of that. That's what your confession has to be. So in our prayer, we have to focus on him. And we learn to ask him not only to focus on him, but on other people too. Assist other people. You say, well, I can help myself. When you help, I found a long time ago, when you help somebody else, God reach in and help you. Hello? Because when you're focused on people that this, you're doing what the Bible says, spread that love. We're lovers one of another. We have to take care of each other. We are concerned. Am I my brother? Keep this. You are. You bet you are. So God has a plan for you, and all his plans are good. But when you walk with him, he'll walk with you. And see, that's how we keep that peace in a really bad situation. Keep our focus on God. Turn the TV off sometimes and read your Bible. Put it on Christian television and listen to the preacher sometimes. Turn that other music off and listen to gospel music. Let it feed your spirit, because it's your spirit, the good thing for your spirit you need to feed. Because you can't be double-minded and wishy-washy. Jesus said, if you try to serve me and the devil, you're going to either hate me and love the devil, you're going to love me and hate the devil. You can't do both. A double-minded man, James said, is unstable in all his ways. That means he's crazy. So you can't be between two, torn between two, amen? So this week we still want to talk about King David. And we're talking about pressing and pushing toward the mark. King David was a very important character in the Bible. He's one of my favorite characters. I love a lot of them in there, but King David is my favorite. And don't mean no, I talk about him a lot. But God said something about King David that I did not read in the scripture yet. Maybe some of you did, but he said it about him and about him. But he said, David was a man after my own heart. And when God can say that about us, that's awesome. That means that everything you do is to please him. And not to say that you didn't mess up. I mean, we're human. We will. But not willfully. Things happen. But he was so after the heart of God, and let's find out how. David, you know, everybody knows the David and Goliath story. They even made cartoons of it. I remember long years ago, they had these animated cartoons called David and Goliath. that used to come on Sunday afternoon. We come home from church, our Sunday school, they would be on the television. I remember sitting in the living room watching it sometimes, my mom reading the paper. David and Goliath. Even in school, when we were in school, and not when y'all young folk were in school, just as the mature people, young as me. When we were in school, we would talk the story of David and Goliath. And people usually use that story to talk about how the underdog can win and become a champion. When people look at you because you're little and because, you know, you look like you don't have nothing or you don't have no strength or whatever, that you can become a champion. So they used David back then. God used David to destroy this champion, so to speak. And he was an underdog. But the story was only the beginning of all the remarkable, powerful things that David did in God. And then not even that, one by not two, that he made mistakes too. But God still called him in 1 Samuel 13 and 14 a man after his own heart. David did become a man after his own heart. So, very young, when David was very young, he devoted his life to God. And that's why I speak so much to the young people, because you have an opportunity that a lot of older people didn't have. Some people only came to the Lord when they were old. A lot of us came when we were young, but some people only came when they were old. Well, while you're young, you take David for an example. He was a really, really remarkable young man. He gave his life to God when he was just a young man. So as a shepherd, he spent a great deal of time by himself in the field with his sheep and with God. He used all that time that he had out there because, I mean, he can't talk to the sheep. So imagine that he used that time that he was in the field with the sheep to fellowship with God. He used his time wisely. When you're young, sometimes you have a lot of free time, y'all young people. And if you mess around and get caught up with the wrong people and listen to the wrong conversations, you'll find yourself out there doing other stuff with your time rather than using your time wisely. Because if you don't look out, and I tell young people this all the time, but some young people, they're listening, others, well, let me, you know, I got to feel this. But if you don't use your time wisely, you will find yourself setting your life at a young age, setting destruction on your future. Because one thing Officer Chucky did once when he did in our youth conference, he did a demonstration because he's a parole officer, and he did a probation officer, right? Which one? One of the other. Both, whatever. He's one of the officers. To help you out, probation. And he did a demonstration. He said one thing he said that should have stuck in every young person's heart that night, once you get in the system, you sue. You end it. But the warning is before you get in the system, think about it. If Jesse just got out of jail and he wants you to go somewhere and do something with him, what do you got to offer you? Nothing but jail time. You don't want to go with Jesse. If Jesse just got out of jail, hello, as a young person, and what we had a good time, we did this and that, and all of us was just out of jail. What did you get in jail? All right, I just got caught because you're doing something wrong, something to go to jail for. Hello? So you want to just move away from Jesse, okay? So David made wise decisions as a young man and as a young lady and a young man. Right now, while you have the opportunity, and as a child, you need to make your decisions wisely. Because he was praising God and learning to hear God's voice. He could have got caught up in other stuff, but while he was in the field with the sheep, he was praising God, spending time with God, and just quietly listening for the voice of God. Sometimes we say we hear God and we don't. And then we run out and do stuff and we say, God told me to do that, and then it don't work out. And now we're looking up at God. Don't you know, for God never told you that. Because, first of all, you don't have an ear to hear God. Like Bishop always said, you have to develop an ear. And you can't develop an ear to hear God when you got all kinds of gospel in your ear all the time. You have to set aside time, spend fellowship time with God. Set aside by yourself time. You need some by yourself time. I don't care how young you are, how old you are, you need some by yourself with God time so that you can develop an ear to hear God. Maybe in the late hours of the night. Maybe in the middle of the day, whenever you can have some spare time, have that time set aside for God. And so He used the time wisely, praising God and learning to hear the voice of God. So if you look, read the Psalms, the majority of them are written by David, but not all of them, but the majority of them are. And they talk about his deep commitment, most of them, and his willingness to discuss and to serve and to tell everybody about the goodness of God. You mostly see him talking to God. I hear him in the Psalms talking to God, blessing God, and sharing even, you know, his arrows with God. David was a man that had deep commitment, and he was there. He spent most of his focus on God, even though he was a man of war. He still was fighting the war, winning battles, killing people, making mistakes, and doing like human beings, but he still had a heart after God. He used his time to become in tune with God. That's what we need. We need to find tune in to God. We need to, you know how you listen to the radio and you fine tune it and get to a certain channel and you say, oh, that's my station. How about we do that with God? Get to yourself and fine tune your hearing so you can say, oh, yeah, oh, you heard God. Oh, yeah, okay, right there. Don't worry, I move. You know, that's it. That's God right there. I hear it. And once you get that focus in that area with God, nobody can shake you because you know when God is speaking. Hello, you ain't ever going to hear him in an audible voice. So don't stop listening to him. He's going to speak in your heart, in your spirit, in his word, through his preachers and his leaders. You got to learn to hear him when he's speaking. We get caught in God, you know, they talk about me. How can they be talking about you? They don't even know you. But the word of God is hitting you. So that's God speaking. Learn to hear God. You read scripture. They ain't talking about me. That's family over there. Well, if we can find the scripture to somebody else instead of ourselves, that's you right there. If you say that's family, no, it ain't. It's you. Just go, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. That's me. And repent. Hello? And so in Psalms 18, here we see that David, he had total reliance on God. Now, verse 2 says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. You know, a rock, I mean, it's hard to break a rock. And a fortress, you know, it's just like fortified walls around. It's built, it's almost impenetrable. Especially if God is your fortress. He said he's my deliverer. No matter what's going on, no matter what's happening with you, God is able to bring you out. We have to be to the point that we are in this press, that we trust God no matter what the circumstance or situation is, and no matter what people are saying, I believe God. Right. Remember Isaiah said, who has believed our report? Who believes the report of the Lord? But the word of God said, somebody tell you something contrary to the word of God. He said, no, but I want to believe God's word. That's what God, children of God will do. It's not tangible, so don't look for something you can touch. It's invisible. You won't be able to see it. But you got to believe. Jesus said, blessed are those that believe and have not seen. It's not something you're going to be able to see with your eyes, and it won't be something you can touch. But in your heart, you got to know that it is. Because God said, I am a spirit, and he that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. So if you don't worship him in spirit, stop looking for a tangible thing. Stop looking to see things with your natural eye. That's what fellowship with God is about. It'll get you to the point where you'll stop looking for the natural, and you'll start looking for the spiritual. Hello. You just stop believing God. That's what the words say. Remember Jesus and the woman, they brought all those witnesses against her. This one woman, I don't know how nobody committed adultery by themselves, but there was one woman they brought to Jesus. And she committed adultery. And the first thing Jesus said, if you was he who is without sin, you be the first one to cast a stone at. Nobody in that crowd, now everybody can see your fault, but they don't see their own fault. But when they're confronted with it, everybody in that crowd dropped them rocks and walked away because they knew they weren't without sin. But you just got caught in yours. So now we're going to throw it on you. It's all your fault. Now, I saw her do it. It's Becky. It was her. But nobody caught you in yours. And so Jesus knew that all those around them were sinners anyway. But you want to destroy. You want me to judge a woman called her sin, is just, your sin is just as bad as hers. You want me to judge her and stone her to death? And you got a rock, a murderer is what you are. Hello? So when you're pressing toward the mark of the high court calling and God, he says, my God, like David said in verse 2 still, he said, my God, my strength in whom I will trust. My strength. When we're weak, he said, I am strong. God is, he's our strength. We don't have to always try to go in our own strength. Sometimes we mess up because we always try to do things in our own strength. Well, I can't do that. No, you can't. But God can. All you have to do is apply yourself. Do what's right. Have faith and believe. You got to work it out. Now, listen to me clearly. This does not say that you sit up and watch the trees in your backyard and hope money don't grow off those trees. That ain't going to work. Having faith in God don't mean just somebody gonna drop by and knock on your door. That may happen. But somebody gonna knock on your door and drop a bag of money in your hand. That won't happen. But having faith in God means go get you a J-O-B. Somebody say J-O-B.
J-O-B.
And ask God to bless you on that J-O-B. Somebody say J-O-B.
J-O-B.
And he'll bless you. And not only will he bless you on it, but you'll prosper on it. He'll give you favor on it. Let me tell you something. I'm talking from experience. Even people that don't like you, he'll turn them. If you stand, but you got pressed on. You can't go there acting like you don't want to work and say, God gonna work for you. I ain't doing nothing. God, my God gonna work for me. Lord, have mercy. The Lord's gonna bless me. I don't have to do nothing. Don't put God in the spot like that. Don't tempt him that way. That's sin. So the Bible says, Jesus said that we're going to work as if all our job is if we're working unto the Lord. So you go there and you put your best foot forward and it's not good enough for them. You're doing the best you can. You're working hard and you're praying and spending time with God and giving your tithes and offerings to the church, helping people that they need, doing what you're supposed to do and living your life according to the word the best you can. Hello? Because we're all human. And God will promote you and they'll promote you and don't even know why they're promoting you. They'll give you a raise and don't even know why. I don't want to give it, but, I just can't. I'm going to give it to you anyway. They might even say little digs at you, but they'll have to give it to you. You'll end up with it anyway. That's the way God moves for us. So he's not going to just call down lightning strike bolt from heaven and then a treasure box at the end of it. He puts it in a rainbow. I'll tell you, I tried that one time, a long time ago. Not that long ago. Everybody talks about it. You know, it's fair to it. A treasure box at the end of the rainbow. And I said, why come out here? You can see the rainbow just across the street. I said, oh, across the street, what's that? Never find the end of the rainbow. One day we were riding down, what's this highway over here? The turnpike, on our way to church. And I looked and there was a rainbow on the turnpike. The end of the rainbow was right down the turnpike. We rolled through it. Bishop was driving, I said, we just rolled through the rainbow. I said, ain't no pot of gold at the end of that rainbow. Where's my pot of gold? That's the end of the rainbow. It's funny, but it won't happen like that. That's not the way it is. People say those things, and it's humorous, and it makes people build their hopes, and you would be surprised at the people that really have hopes and someday walking at the end of the rainbow forward, picking up a pot of gold. You'd be surprised rather than saying, I'm going to believe God to work things out for me on my job, to work things out for me to get a job or to do whatever, the right thing. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, and God's going to work it out for me. They would rather walk and look for the end of the rainbow, thinking there's a pot of gold at the end of it. Don't you know if it was there, somebody got it? If it was one there, you'd be the last one to get it. Ain't that? So it said, it's my shield. And the horn of my salvation, he's my stronghold. Isn't that something? I love it that he's my shield. Because the Bible says Satan is always shooting fiery darts at us, right? Ephesians says we're supposed to quench the fiery darts of who? The wicked one, right? So he's always one of those fiery darts. Sometimes those digs that people throw at you, aggravate. Sometimes people try to nudge you and get you all fired up, like. You, young people, y'all still in that. Older people, we already know we grew out of that stage. But y'all still in it. We're, now you know what Ben said about you. Hello. And now you mad at her because Saturn came and told you what Ben said. And Ben said, she added a little bit to it because Ben probably didn't say that. Devil, listen, now you're just ready to fight. Come out and nudge you into it. And so that's one of the fiery dots that the enemy is shooting at you, because he see that you and Beth get along so good. So now let's break them up. They're two friends. I don't want them to be friends. Hello?
Yeah.
I'm jealous of their friendship. So whatever you can do to break them up, this is exactly what he's going to do. So that's those dots. And so he said, I'll be a shield and a horn. Horn is what? Power. Horn, power. God gives us power. In Christ Jesus, we have power. Power to get wealth. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 8 and 18, remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth us power to get wealth. Power. When you walk into a place and you're applying for a job and you dress properly and you know that you're in the right attire, because you can't go anywhere. You can't go lose a job with flip flops and hot pants and, you know, just looking all ragged and first thing people see you and be like, what? You know what? Well, we're not taking applications anymore, but that's all right. I call you. And straight to the doctor saying your application. Go. You got to present yourself. You got to come dressed in the proper attire, clothes and shoes. A suit, if you have them inside, at least a decent pair of pants, and not some things so tight you can't even breathe. As if you're going clubbing or something. Nice outfit, hair done, hair cut, or groomed well. Hello? And when you fill your application out, make sure you fill everything out. If it doesn't apply to you, type NA, which means not applicable to me. Don't leave it in blank. These are things that people are looking for. Be intelligent when you're looking for a job. I don't care if it's ditch digging. Go your best. And just your appearance will make them hire you. They'll say, you know what, she's marketable. I can train her. He's marketable. I can train him. Whatever the job is, I can fit him in. I can train him. I like his appearance. I like how he presents himself. Not your head all the hair. Can you do this? They don't have no confidence in you there because you want to look them in the face, right? So he said that you're my horn, my strength. And you go in God, you know that you have the power of God on the inside of you. I am confident that if this is the job for me, I'm going to get it. I'm going in there. I'm going to present myself as someone who's willing to work. I'm going to fill my application out. And Lord, I'm going to do the best I can. I ain't lying on my application. I'm going to tell the truth. Hello? But we ain't tell lies and being there and tell my Lord bless me with this application. You just lied on your application. And you want God to bless them. Come on, please. We're trying to bring God down on our level. And we can't do that. Tell the truth. And God will give you favor with those people. They'll overlook that situation. Hello? But your heart has to be truthful. So he's my shield, my salvation, and my stronghold. Verse 3 says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. He is what? Worthy to be praised. Hello? So shall I be saved from my enemies. Wow. This is how David praises God. This is how he fellowship. This is how he got to the heart of God. Because God loves him. You like people to tell you pretty and handsome and fine and all. You like people to say, that's a nice dress you got on. I love the way you see. You know, I love that hairstyle you got. You love that. God loves us to love on him too. He loves for you. Oh, you're powerful. You're great. You're mighty. You're loving at a time of the dress size. You got all power in your hand. He loves you to say, Lord, you're so beautiful. You're so lovely. You're so good. You know, he loves that. And when you begin to praise him and flatter him and worship him, he said, I have the habit to praise of my people. That brings his spirit closer to you. And when the Spirit of God comes, when he comes on the scene, he ain't just coming in. Hello. He ain't just coming. He brings deliverance. He brings healing. He brings blessings. I was listening at Nicole. I was now from here tonight, and she was telling me about her joy in the Lord. And she said, I'm just praising. She said, Pastor, just like you said, I've been praising God, and it's a difference. And I was just smiling. She said, it's a good feeling. I said, yes, it is. She said, I'm praying, asking. I've been praising. And I said, oh, yeah. Ain't nothing like the praise. He already know what you have need of. You can talk to him, you know, from time to time. But when you get into a radical praise with God just by yourself, not even, you know, just you and God in your house, just glorifying God, something happens there. Mind you, now, you get into a deep praise, and you get a spirit of fear for just all right. It's the presence of God. Keep praising. Don't stop praising. And some of you come and, you know, last time I was doing that, I felt so scared I was good. That's humility. That means God is with you. Don't stop praising him. That fear comes. That broke your spirit. Hello. Because David takes almost everything to God because he trusts him. He wants him to answer his problems, to fix his problems, and answer his situation. We got to be like that. We got to take everything to God. When we be running one morning, I always say my prayer, but I say, Lord, allow me to be the best that I can be today and let Jesus stand big on inside of me. You are my stepmother. This, I know I'm all by piece by piece. And I tell him, you know, you do this. You, it's your mouth, your head, your eyes, your ears. Let me only hear that which you have me to hear and be able to pass over that's not good for me. You got to talk to God like you really are giving yourself to God. We say we give ourselves to God, but do we? Hello? When we learn how not to argue so much at things that don't even matter, or to be so concerned and fighting about stuff that ain't going to do nothing but bring you down, and then nothing's going to change. When we learn to change, to flip-flop our personality and turn them over to the Lord. And so this is what David was doing. He trusted God. He knew that God had answers to everything. And he does. Everything in us, God has an answer to. We need to stop searching for the answer for ourselves. We get the wrong answer because we're going to do what pleases the flesh, right? Mm-hmm. But God has the answer to everything. Everything that concerns us, he's got the answer. So often, when I used to think that I can take care of all my problems on my own, and I would try it. I knew that if I would just wait on God, but sometimes you don't get in a hurry. You want it now. I don't do that no more, but I just okay, you know, I know that somebody will help me. I know this person will help me. Let me call this one. Let me call that one. And so God started closing doors, no matter who I called. Nope. Sorry. Nope. No. There was nobody left but God. So now I got to stay on my face before the Lord. But meanwhile, nothing is happening. But I still got to stay on my face before him. Still, things can work. Nothing is happening. But I'm still on my face before the Lord. Not that I'm not even no better. It's like it worked, but I'm still on my face before the Lord. And then one day, all of a sudden, it bursts off like a new day. Because I don't even think about my problems no more. It's just an automatic go to church. It's automatic praise. An automatic Bible study. It's automatic worship. It's just something that just comes. I just love it. And all of a sudden, one day, you walk out of the hole that you're in. You don't even remember. When did things start getting better? But things are better. Hello? And so this is the kind of trust that David had for God, and that's the kind of trust that we need to have for him. In our reliance, we have to rely on him because he's remarkable. David was humbled, too. We need to humble ourselves and know that we don't have all the answers. We don't have them. God has the answers. Humility says, "The Lord, I can't fix this." The Apostle Paul, let me say something. When I learned how to apostle Paul to school, all this knowledge to say, I know that all of that I knew, all of my education, being a scribe, therapy, or whatever case, that a lawyer doing all this, I count it as nothing. It don't mean nothing. I throw it in the trash can for what I have in Christ Jesus. I learned that I was stupid. Because I have book knowledge, but I have no knowledge of God. So I had to find out that dirty stupid. You need to get rid of all that smart, that book smart, and seek God in the Word because book smart ain't going to get you where you need to go in God. Hello? You can try to reason this thing out, but it ain't going to fit with the Bible. The Bible is controversial to your reasoning because we said I take the wise in their own practice. In other words, I take the wisdom of this world and I confound it with the foolishness of the Bible. It looks foolish in the Bible, the things that God is doing. But guess what? He confounds the wisdom because I say, okay, my education says that it should be done this way. It's just unnatural or not feasible for it to be done this way. But the Bible says, hello, we don't even know where the wind comes from, but we know that the wind is there. Can I get that from my books, from my education books? No. But we know it's there. So all this learning and even the scientists now are admitting that there has to be a supreme being. They first they were saying that we came from monkeys. Well, I know I didn't. I already knew that. I look back on my family tree and there were no monkeys in there. So I knew I had a compromise. So some people might have been confused. But then we came, we evolved. And I thought myself, how come we ain't still evolved? And what did we get here and stop? We bring forth babies, how come they weren't monsters and they didn't evolve? You know what I mean? So there's stuff that wasn't adding up. And so once we begin to trust God and humble ourselves, become humble like David did, we know that God can handle our problems. Because when we do them ourselves, our problem will take over us and destroy us, trample us and beat us down to the ground. Beat us down, live us to destroy us. We look so tired, what's in it? Tell them. Years and years of trials in our young years of crisis. Bishop would always dream, and when I dream about it, trying to find something else, you know, to go with it, other than what it really is. And Bishop would come, and then next thing you know, I'm not even out of this one. And if you come with another dream, I go, tell me no more dreams. I don't want to hear it. Just let this go through. It was killing me. Every time I looked around, it wasn't like, we coming out. It's like, okay, did the Lord show me this? I'm going to another one. But God was making us. He was molding us and shaping us. The anointing that we have in our lives don't just come drop out of the sky. The anointing that's on your line ain't going to drop out of the sky. You got to go through to get it. Come on. You got to be worthy of it. Amen? And I remember Minister Mary said to me one time, she's a dreamer. And she kept going through over and over. And she kept saying, she tell me, she said, well, that's another. Don't tell me nothing else. I don't say nothing else. It is. But the Lord will warn us. He let us know, you know. But you just got to grin and bear it. Hello? And you want out of it fast. But if we come out fast, we're going to have the same nasty personality that we had all the time. We're going to still be doing that same nasty stuff that we did before. But we're going to bring us out slowly. Hello? We lose some stuff. Stuff stops falling off, but we stop making some changes. And that's what he's trying to do, to make changes. So David was special to God, but it didn't mean that he didn't go through difficulties. He did too. He had to face so many challenges. He even lived as a fugitive. Y'all know the story of how King Saul chased him, trying to kill him because of his jealousy. Samuel anointed him as king to go in Saul's place. So David became Saul's, almost became his brother. Well, he was Saul's son, Jonathan. They were like brothers. And they became very close. He married Saul's daughter. And so he tried so many times, Saul tried so many times to kill David because he was jealous of him. David was successful in battle. People liked him and like people loved him. And God, he had the favor of God. He was basically powerful in God. And Saul was jealous of him. David trusted in the Lord. The enemy won't like you, and that's why he don't like you, because you are the favor of God. We are the favor. Put your hand on yourself. I'm the favor of God. And I'm going to keep on pressing. No matter what you're going through, keep pressing. David had to keep pressing. He knew that he had the favor of God on his life, but he lived as a fugitive. He trusted God anyhow. Saul was trying to kill him. He ran from him. I'm sure he could have killed him as many times and every time when he came so close to him to let him know I could have killed you. But he didn't. Because he respected him as God's anointed, but he fled from him. So he ran from him, not only just to spare his life, but to keep from destroying the life of God's anointed. Hello? So God had told David that he would be king, and David believed that he trusted God. It didn't happen right then. Hello? But he got the anointing for it. And so he had to go through some things. He knew that God was going to see him through all of his adversity. David wasn't perfect at all, like we are. When he sinned big. David, he became infatuated with Bathsheba, another man's wife. He was married to one of his soldiers, Uriah. He had an affair with her. She became pregnant, and so the double up on the sin, he tried to cover it up by bringing Uriah home to have sex with his wife, and he wouldn't. And I ain't going home to my house, and all my soldiers still out there fighting the war, so then he set him up. So one was enough, I got to get rid of you, buddy. But listen now, David was a man after the heart of God. How many know the flesh ain't nothing but a mess? But he knows that there's sometimes something off. So then he did this. He put Uriah out there, got him killed, put him on the front line, but he knew he would get killed. And so the Lord sent the prophet Nathan to him. And Nathan came to him and he told him a story. He told him a parable. He didn't come out and tell him, David, you're going to get messed up. But he told him a story about a man that had been done wrong by another man. And he said, David, he said, what you think should be done to that man? He said, that man ought to be put to death, and the man who was done wrong ought to be restored back. All that was taken. And so Nathan turned to him and said, but you that man. You think David said, oh, that ain't me? You know, that's not for me. No, that wasn't me. I didn't do that. My hand in the cookie jar, that is not my hand. I don't care. It might be on my body, but it's not my hand. I didn't do that. Huh? So he did. He got caught, but he cried out. In the Psalms, he said, I have sinned. He told Nathan, he said, I have sinned. But he didn't say, I sinned and broke, you know, I did it. I broke the law. And so he said, I have sinned against God. I have sinned against the Lord. I broke all of God's covenants. I did them all. Murder, adultery, fornication, lying, stealing another man's wife. You name it. Oh, he just had them all wrapped up into a bundle in that one incident. But he said, I have sinned against the Lord. So Nathan told him, he was God. God saw his heart. That's why you have to understand that God listens to your heart. Understand it this clearly, though. When we say, you hear people saying, well, I know God knows my heart. Be careful, because he does know your heart. He knows that you don't have no intention ever in the future of doing right. He knows your heart. So you don't want to use that word and excuse. I don't have to go to church. God knows my heart. Your heart is just an evil looking me. Instead of saying, God, I should change my heart. Or I should change, allow God to change my heart. Not God on my heart, because he doesn't. People think that's a good excuse for them to stay home and don't serve God and don't do what they're supposed to do. They can break all the law. But he says, Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin, you shall not die. Now David pronounced that sentence on the man, but God gave another, you know what, came with that. God already said that you will not die. However, verse 14 it says, because by this deed, because of what you did, you have given a great occasion to the enemies of the Lord, now listen to this, to blaspheme. So the child that is going to be born to you by Bathsheba is going to die. You gave an occasion, in other words, because of what you did, because of the sin that you did, and you say, I'm saved. Preach that sin up in the pulpit. You say, I'm saved, I'm a born-again man of God. You're teaching me, thou shalt not sin, thou shalt not commit adultery. You got this woman pregnant in the house of God. The consequences will be deadly. If God says, you want that? Because you still got to work to do for that child. Turn that. Hello. David fell to his face. His sins were strong and they were severe, but there were strong consequences. We have to understand that there are consequences. So in this press, think before you leap. Think before you jump. Take a second or two. The Bible says, the scripture, the Proverbs says, a soft answer turns away strife. Sometimes somebody says something, we spit back out. Hit for tat, hit for tat. Now we argue. And you think, just think about it. If you don't say nothing, they can't say nothing. You don't do nothing, they can't do nothing. Just, it ain't even worth it. What? You might walk away. Sometimes you get to the point and somebody says something, you be like, what? And you just walk away. Now that was dumb. You keep right on set. Now they look the fool. Tell us. But David was torn from that. So he accepted responsibility. He didn't say, I didn't do it. He said, I have sinned against the Lord. He didn't say, I didn't do it. He didn't say, you're lying. You didn't see me. He didn't know about the song, but he knows God did. So we have to learn to take responsibility for what we did. It's going to cause pain, but you got to deal with the pain. You do the crime, I always say, you do the crime, you do the time. Huh? You do the crime, I can't pray for you to get out of jail, but I can pray for God to keep you while you're in jail. Come on, people. It's the truth. You're going to pay for what you did. You broke the law, you got to pay, but I pray for God to keep you and keep you safe while you're in there. Give you faith. and touch your heart so you can change when you come out and don't do it no more. But he's not going to go, okay, well, you know, this is things, yeah, it's whatever. So, you know, she's my servant and I'm going to bring you out. No, you're going to do it. Everybody else got to do it. You got to do it too. Get the crime, you got to do the time. But I'll pray for your strength. So many of us, we try to hide our sins, and too often when we're confronted with them, we deny them. We get mad and upset because somebody came to us and told us we did it. And then when hardship comes because of it, because of the choices we made with our life, like I said before, we look up and blame God. Lord, why did you let this happen to me? And we forget about the first action, because it takes an action to form a reaction. So if you go all the way back to the beginning of that thing, you'll understand that what you did right here caused that to happen up here. And God didn't have nothing to do with that. He brought that on yourself. Hello? And so we understand by David that if we humble ourselves, and see, this world has gotten to be litigious. It's like people don't own up to nothing no more. Everybody's looking for, so the men just got like that, because I think it started with Adam when God was telling them about the apple. He's telling them, yeah, but it was that lady you gave me, the woman. She had to give it to me, I wouldn't have had it. And we get worse with it today. People are not owning up to their problems. In this press, when you're in a press on this journey, even to that point, admit your fault. Not to confess your fault one to another. Pray about it. Don't walk into it. Walk away from it. The Lord will forgive us and raise us up. If we want to be forgiven, we got to confess that we messed up. Lord, I messed up. Saying, if I done, when somebody apologizes, forgive somebody, well, you need to apologize. I'm sorry. If I did something to you, that is not a problem. You, first place, you know you did something. And in the second place, that attitude don't say, I'm sorry. It does not tell me that you really are sorry for this thing. Right? How many know people that apologize like that? And you almost want to say, you know what, keep it. That ain't even an apology, is it? But own up to it. I did it. There's a penalty. There was a penalty by Stephen Law for five. If we own up to our mistakes and go right through suffering through it, Lord, okay, I remember when I did. Yeah, okay. I just give it strength, Lord. I know it was my fault, but just help me through it. With you, I can go through it. I can't go through it alone. Hello? And you spend time with him. You come to church. You pray and praise in your house, like the folks do it. You pray and praise. I used to walk around my hands up and down, praising God. And before Bishop came in, one time I was speaking in tongues, walking around, and come up to me, he didn't understand. Grabbed on my shoulder and I sit down for me, hurt yourself. Because he didn't understand. I didn't care. I kept right on praying. I went on and talking. Praying because I needed God to do something in my heart. You got to give God praise even when you don't feel like it. Riding down the road, in the church, come to church. I can't wait to get to church. Oh, my God, I love getting to church. I love church days. I'm old in this thing, and I love church days. I love coming to church. I love coming to the house of God. I love worship. I love fellowshiping with the people of God. I love it. When you love God like that, he can't help but walk you through your troubles. Even when you mess up and pull yourself into the wrong area, he will take you through it. He'll go in with you. He didn't say, I'm going to keep you out of the fire. So guess what? Sometimes we set our own fire. But he said, when you go through the fire, I will be with you. So sometimes we set our own fire. This is malicious. And we walk ourselves into it for God to be with us. I know you mess up and you're sorrowful, but I'll be here with you so that you don't get all burnt up in this fire. Just hold on. Keep praising and glorifying me. Keep coming to church. Read your Bible. Set it on the word. Don't commit no infractions. Go and sin no more and watch me bring you out of it. And he'll bring you out. But we, our minds, and then, you know what? You get stressed and you start looking. You can't even see tonight. Like, thinking the way you see that. Maybe I should do this. Maybe I should do that. And when you start listening to your own mind, you do those things and get yourself in deeper. Hello? Now you dig a ditch that you really got to get some help to get out of. So we really need to just go ahead and allow God to bring us out. When we get ourselves in a different ministry, you know what I call that. From David, the one thing we can learn is how to deal with our situation through prayer. He didn't just sit across the table from God, just like we did either, but he talked to God. He had time with God, prayer time. Use your prayer time. Use your time wisely. Spend time with God. Not all of the songs were written by David, but at least 73 of them, I'm told, was according to the scriptures. And he had devotion and worship in him. He was a minstrel. He played the harp. He sung all the time. He sung the glory of God all the time. He was always singing to God and praising God. Make up a song. Whatever your heart is singing. No one cares if it ain't on a record. That's your heart. God don't care. My husband sings all the time. He sings his heart. Seriously, both of them have made up song. I said, wait a minute. Every song written was made up by somebody. Hello? Even though that recorder made up by somebody. Right. Yeah, but that has his own. That's okay. That's his song. He's singing his heart. You sing your heart. So a lot of them were written by David, and he praised God. The Psalm 138:1 says, "A song, I will praise you. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you." Verse 2 says, "I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name." I will magnify you. God is above any God. He's above any creation. I magnify you. To magnify something is to make it big, to make it glorious. I magnify you, Lord God. I'd love to hear you say that. Lord, I magnify you. That means I'm big. He's bigger than your problems. He's bigger than your circumstance. He's bigger than your children, your husband, your wife, your job, whatever, your neighborhood. He's bigger than that. Lord, I magnify you. Bring him glory because he deserves it. Huh? Glory to God. So a lot of his songs were prayers and some of them were thanks. He never forgot to thank God. In Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." They made a little song out of that, right? "Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles." Hello. Glory to God. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. What is your soul? That's your element. That's where your desires are. That means that now my desires are toward God. That's my soul and my soul for him. That's where your hearing is. Now my hearing is to hear the word of God. That's where your sight is. I'm looking on the things of God, the spiritual things of God. That's where your smell is. I can only smell the sweet aroma of the Holy Spirit. I'm serving God with all of my senses. Your taste. The Bible says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Even my taste buds are on fire for God. Hello? Glory to God. That's a praise break right there. Right there. Hallelujah. Just to give him thanks and to give him praise just for that right there is enough. When my soul does magnify the Lord, that brings your whole, once your soul is in that place with God, well, it gives God glory, your whole body comes out of subjection. Now, you can tame your body. You can tame your tongue. So you got to spend your days. Only way to do that is in the word of God. This is how we press in the word of God. This is how we press by coming to the house of God. This is how we press by bringing our offering and our tithe according to scripture into the house of God. This is how we press by on our knees praying every day, 2 or 3 times a day. This is how we press by calling on God for somebody else other than ourselves. Praying for others. Knocking on somebody's door. "Have you noticed that you haven't been to church in a while? Can you need a ride? I'll come and get you." Whatever the case may be. Being concerned about others. Pressing toward the mark. And my soul does magnify the Lord. Amen. Any questions? Any comments?
Amen. Brother Gregory, talk to me.